to start off by saying welcome to everybody to Unscripted Violence. Stagger Lee here. I'm being joined today by Spaz. Spaz, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm just excited to talk about the ups and downs of Dynamite and Rampage this week. I don't have much in way of news today. I haven't really been reading that much lately about what's been going on in pro wrestling, other than a few rumors here and there that speculation on Tony Khan's big announcement. I have no idea what Tony Khan's next big announcement is. He seems to have a new announcement almost every week now.
Yes.
He does. So why don't we just get into Dynamite? It took place on the 13th in New Orleans, Louisiana, at the UNO Lakefront Arena. And we started off with CM Punk versus Penta Oscuro with Alex Abrahantes. I thought this was a great match. Punk kind of tweaked his knee a little bit, it looked like, during the match, but he was selling that as part of the story of it. What do you think about this match?
It was a decent match. Anytime you're working with Penta, it's can be challenging because he's very high maneuver, lot of lucha moves, very fast on his feet, so that makes it kind of challenging for a brawler type like CM Punk.
Yeah, I thought they worked well together, despite the styles difference between them. It ended with CM Punk catching Penta, trying to do a springboard off of the ropes, and Punk caught him and hit the GTS for the win on that. Punk gesturing for the belt after the match. I'm not sure about this Oscuro character. I think it's kind of cartoonish myself. I just did not hit me the right way. Mostly Alex and the way he's dressed up.
Yeah, Alex Abrahanta has been kind of a weird mix to that group.
Yeah, he is. But, I mean, he's very good when he does the translation and everything like that. I like him when he goes into the segments with them, and I think it helps break that language barrier. But that's pretty much why I think he is there. We went to a tape segment, showed Jericho and the Jericho Appreciation Society getting off a private jet, and they see Eddie Kingston, Santana, and Ortiz in like a SUV and shouting at them on site. They pull away, and Matt Menard and Angelo Parker are laying on the ground selling the effects of what Kingston and Santana and Ortiz did. Was it Angelo that said he got his shoes taken?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, I thought that was a nice touch. It's not the first time that Santana and Ortiz have taken the shoes. I believe they did that to the Young Bucks at one point. So I kind of liked that element in it. But after that, we had the AEW Tag Team Championship on the line. It was Red Dragon, Kyle O'Reilly, and Bobby Fish against the champs Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. This was a very high energy match, as I expected. It, you know, a series of high spots in it, and a lot of back and forth action. Some of the high points of the match is when O'Reilly had Luchasaurus in a front chancery lock and in the corner, while Fish he sort of did a superplex over O'Reilly and Luchasaurus, and I think Excalibur said it was a Falcon arrow. It didn't quite look like a Falcon's arrow to me, but I can see where he kind of got that out of there.
Yeah, it was a cross of a half-twisted Falcon arrow, I guess you would say. I don't like the way they cover a lot of different moves sometimes, where it's like, can we have different names or something? Like, for a Falcon arrow, it's like, well, that is somebody else's move. So when you, it just can, I think it confuses the listener sometimes, because it makes it kind of sound redundant. Nice move or whatever. And now 80 other guys are doing the same move. Can we different or something?
Yeah, I just think Excalibur feels every move to either show off his wrestling knowledge or just to put a name on it sometimes. And sometimes he can kind of reach, I notice. But it ended up with a little botched of a Thoracic Express by Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus for the win on that. O'Reilly came in and with a chair and attacked Jungle Boy after the match. Grabbed the belt, sort of looked frustrated, and they pointed out that it was an unsportsmanlike way to end the match. TR came to the ramp with their belts and got in the faces of Red Dragon, and they kind of had a shoving match, but then they just cut from that immediately. I don't know if that was leading into a story, who FTR was out there for. It seemed kind of
Yeah, that was kind of an odd ending there, because yeah, you really didn't know exactly who. What was FTR out there for? Were they out there for Red Dragon? Were they out there to challenge Luchasaurus and them again? What was really going on there?
Yeah,
it felt like a botched spot.
It kind of did. And they quickly went, and then they showed footage from last week's match between Yuta and Moxley. And backstage, Tony was with Brian Danielson, Moxley, Wheeler Yuta, and William Regal. And they were just talking about their upcoming trios match with the Gun Club. Nothing too special about that segment. Then Tony Schiavone shown backstage with Jamie Hayter and Tony Storm. And Tony says it'll be one of those two in the first round of the Owen Hart Foundation tournament. And Hayter says it's going to be her crowning moment in AEW, and Tony is not going to stop it because she's going to win and break Storm's face. And Storm just says nothing, smiles, and walks away. Kind of just building to that match. Then we had was MJF coming out with Sean Spears versus the Captain Sean Bean, and Jeff starts off with typical heel antics, acting like the zipper on his jacket will not come unstuck, and even gets Spears to help him out, and he does that just to sucker Dean in and get the upper hand. They flash to the big screen and show security in the back, all knocked out. Kind of worries MJF. who takes the match outside. He throws Dean into the guardrail. He throws Dean into the ring, then goes back out and leans on the guardrail. When from behind him, there's a masked security guard who takes off his mask, and it reveals that it's Wardlow, who jumps the railing, chases MJF. MJF flees to the top of the ramp, and security guards just come one by one as Wardlow just keeps taking. Spears even tries that chair shot, and Wardlow no-sells it. Turns around, he's about ready to powerbomb Spears, and then that's when all the security came. The whole time, the ref is counting MJF out. Right before he gets to 10, MJF gets on the mic and tells the ref whatever he's getting paid, he'll triple it if he does not count him out. And Bryce Ramsburg proceeds to count MJF out, resulting in the captain, Sean Dean, winning the match. Wardlow just smiles and allows security to escort him out. MJF storms into the ring, gets in the face of the ref, and Spears holds him back. Then on the big screen, Wardlow's still shown pummeling security, and he grabs the camera and says he's not going to stop until he gets his hands on MJF, and he's released of his contract from him. I think they're still continuing to build Wardlow in a big way. Wardlow looked great. What'd you think about this match?
I love the way that they're pushing Wardlow finally right now. And MJF is just probably one of the most incredible heel talents to come quite a while. He's really made a mark on the scene. Virtually a nobody before he came to AEW. The only reason I knew a little about him was through Battleground in the Northeast, which is ran by former Ring of Honor co-owner and head of RF Video, Rob Feinstein, who is actually MJF's cousin. His real name is Maxwell Feinstein. His uncle is, and Rob been pushing him for a couple of years and saying he was the next great thing, and he wasn't kidding. This kid has all the talent on the mic. He wrestles some great matches. I think he's one of the best heels to come since Chris Jericho, in my opinion. It reminds me a lot of a young one. Small, but very agile, and can put anybody over on the mic, in the ring. Just phenomenal skills. The series he had with CM Punk, and now with Wardlow, it's cutting edge. It's some of the best stuff I've seen in a long time.
He's a great talker. And speaking of the comparison with Jericho, I didn't know much about MJF. I think I saw him once or twice on MLW, I think. I could be mistaken on who he was wrestling for, one of the indies. And he was on Talk Is Jericho and did the entire interview in kayfabe fashion, and he was just on the mic. I agree with you that he's one of the greatest heels to come up in a long time. And this was followed by a taped segment at Darby Allin skateboarding down the street. He eventually comes a structure that resembles a coffin. And he says, I'm going to put a nail in this whole thing, and simply says coffin match. And so that gives us an idea of what's coming up next with Darby. Then we had a video of Malachi Black, and was he addressing Fuego? I think he said Fuego, and he basically threatened him in a poetic fashion that he does, and says the reason he's by himself is he wants him to be afraid of the shadows. I don't know if they're looking to build Fuego up anymore. It was just kind of confusing that he mentioned him.
Yeah, didn't make much sense there. Going back to the Darby, my brain just slipped. Darby and
Andrade.
Yeah, Andrade El Hilo. Darby is another good talent. He started here in the Northwest. He's from Seattle originally. Trained by the late great Buddy Wayne in Wayne Academy up in Everett. Had the pleasure of calling Darby Allin's first few matches in the Northwest.
Oh, that's nice. Nice. So you've got to see him just progress to what he is.
Yeah, Darby was smart. He got out of the Northwest instantly. The Northwest wrestling scene is trash. has been for quite some time. And Darby's the best thing to come out of the Northwest in many years. And he was smart by getting out and East Coast and pretty much going old school, living in his car for a while, wrestling up and down the Eastern Seaboard, and finally got hooked with AEW and has just blossomed his career. And I think Sting has really helped evolve his character as well.
Oh, I do too. I think him and Sting were a great pairing. At first, I was somewhat against it, but it worked overall between the, and I haven't seen much of Sting with Darby the past couple Dynamites, it seems like. I don't know if they're just naturally parting ways or if they're just wanting to put more of the focus on Darby.
I'm sure it's more of putting more focus on Darby again. I think Sting was brought in kind of to push Darby and give him that dark character aspect and the Sting push. I think eventually Sting is going to pretty much pass the torch to Darby.
Yeah, I think so too. Anyways, after the next match with Jericho Appreciation Society, we had Jake Hager, Daniel Garcia, and Chris Jericho going against Eddie Kingston, Santana, and Ortiz. I like the fact that Eddie was wearing that dump shirt, JYD, once again. And I liked that Ortiz was wearing Parker's shoes around his neck. Touch. It seemed to be a pretty even matchup between the two teams. I liked during this match as well is I noticed that they were showing the results of Dark in the corner. So if anybody was curious as to the results of that they're starting to put that on Dynamite now. That's just something I noticed during this match. But he was kind of landing the Three Amigos, just doing that beautifully on the Garcia. 2.0 ran out in the middle of the match. Garcia threw Kingston into the ropes, only to have Jericho hit him in the back with Floyd's baseball bat, and the ref couldn't see it, and Garcia pinned him for the win on that. Then it seemed like all five AS attacked Kingston. Then they also rolled in Santana and Ortiz and just had a beat down on them as well. And they're raising their hands in victory. What did you think of this match?
I thought it kind of got muddled towards the end. It ended up going from a match into a complete beatdown, and I just don't get the 5-on-3 all the time, and just makes you kind of wonder what's going to happen with that.
I just hope that they're not pulling another inner circle, where the inner circle was this tight-knit group at first, and then it just kind of naturally kind of fell out of importance. And I kind of see glimmers of that happening already, like you said.
My biggest issue with all of that is that I like the sports entertainer aspect that Jericho's running with, but yet I just think that Tony sometimes is trying to attack WWE too much, and they're making it look like a muddled mess.
Yeah, I noticed that too, and I want them to kind of go back to the attitude that they had starting into this when they started AEW, in making it an alternative and not so much competition. I do like the sports entertainer angle, though. I think that's brilliant. To basically troll the fans, and that's a great angle for them to be heels on. But like you said, I don't want to see it just end up being a total rip on WWE, and that's it.
Yeah, because you're not going to compete against them. They are the juggernaut. They pretty much in the wrestling world. But what you can do is exactly what they started to do, is just have a different aspect, and that's where they need to focus on. Just focus on being AEW.
Yeah, definitely. Then we went backstage with Alex Marvez. He's with MJF and Sean Spears and Smart Mark Sterling. And MJF rants and has Mark Sterling read Wardlow's contract that he has with him. And it says that he can basically book Wardlow however he wants. And out walks the Butcher, and it's apparent that that will be Wardlow's. I personally am not that enthused about this opponent. I don't see the Butcher as being much of a threat as Wardlow stands right now. The Butcher, I don't know what their reasoning was behind that choice, but they could have chose somebody a bit more, I don't know how to put it, somebody that made a bit more sense.
Yeah, should have made it with Sean Spears or something.
Yeah, that would have definitely made a lot more sense. After this, we had Marina Shafir, The Problem, versus Sky Blue. And they show Jade Cargill backstage with Smart Mark Sterling again. This time Smart Mark's taking notes, and Jade's just sort of browsing through her phone, not really paying attention. They also show Jade's baddie section that included Red Velvet in the section this time. I have seen Shafir wrestle at Bloodsport, and she was absolutely great in Bloodsport. I do not know what happened during this match. She looked terrible in there.
Yeah, that was a brutal match. That was, yeah, there did not make Marina look very well.
It did. I was disappointed because I have seen Marina wrestle very good matches, or at least the one match that was at Bloodsport 8. And it makes sense that she was there because Josh Barnett is her trainer. But yeah, this match just did not look good at all. I don't see her as being much of Jade as a result of this. It was supposed to be a match that kind of sent a message out to Jade, and I think it just kind of backfired on them just by the execution of it all.
Yeah, I don't know if it was just those two didn't match up well or what, but it was not a very good match. Definitely.
No. And well, naturally, Shafir won the match via and it looked like a botched submission. It looked like a botched triangle choke.
Yeah, it didn't look very well.
No. But after that, we had Lexi Nair. She's backstage with Hook and starts to ask Hook a question. And he's interrupted by Tony Nese and Smart Mark Sterling again. I don't know how Smart Mark got three segments in a row, but he did it. And he implies that Nese should be the one who's being interviewed. And Tony says it's basically that Tony says he works for his handed his, and that kind of pissed Hook off, you could tell, and he took issue with that. Smart Mark just blows it off, says, hey Tony, let's just get out of here. And that's when it cuts to Danhausen workout gear trying to curse Hook, and Hook tossing a medicine ball in his direction, which knocked Danhausen. And this whole Danhausen Hook thing, I do not like at all. I think it's starting to trample on Hook's credibility a bit. I think we need to see Hook just kill Danhausen and be done with it. Danhausen is not one of my favorites at all, and I haven't seen him wrestle very much, but press.
Well, Danhausen's injured right now. He's just coming off a broken leg, and that's kind of why you're not seeing a lot of him just in segments. But Danhausen is one of the most funniest characters they've had in wrestling in a long time. I don't know if you ever watch any of his YouTube stuff he has.
He is just
hilarious.
He is a funny guy. It's just the way that they've been, I'm not a fan of it, especially with Hook deserves a lot better than that. If they're going to build Hook the way they have been building him, leave Danhausen out of it is what I say, or show Hook just killing him and be done with that. But I have watched Danhausen's YouTube stuff, and I am admittedly a fan of a lot of it. He is a very funny guy. They just need to apparently maybe somebody else. But I can't really see this going anywhere.
Did you see the segment? I don't believe it wasn't on TV. Where they Danhausen had William Regal, and he had William Regal selling the curse.
Oh yes, I did see that. That was actually well done. That was funny. And William Regal in the past has done before. And still he's respected and he's a tough to sell son of a bitch, and you believe that. Some is like that, I could say, yeah, let's use Danhausen there. I just hope they find a better place for him is all.
Oh, I'm sure they will once he's medically cleared again.
Yeah, definitely. But backstage we got Ethan Page, Scorpio, and Dan Lambert. They're basically cutting a promo on Ty Conte and Sammy Guevara. And Scorpio says at Battle of the Belts, the only thing getting bigger will in Texas will be his winning streak. Just setting up Scorpio versus Sammy. Didn't really get me very excited for it. But we can get into the Battle of the Belts in a little bit. Next,
I'm not impressed with Scorpio or Ethan Page.
I'm not either. It seemed like they were pushing Scorpio when he became the face of the Revolution, and then they did nothing with him. Then he went on a losing streak. Then all of a sudden he has a winning streak and gets the title. And I'm not very impressed with him either. And Ethan Page, if they would have him in a match every once in a while, I might be able to form an opinion on him. But he's done very little outside of Dark. Then next we had Team Taz's Powerhouse Hobbs and Starks versus Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee. Starks got a huge pop from the crowd, being his hometown. And it was a solid tag match. A lot of people know Swerve. I do not. I'm not very familiar with him. He's not living up to the hype for me in this match.
It's a Defy guy. He's from the Northwest, also from Seattle. He was pushed really hard at Defy for about a year and a half, and then he went to WWE and went to NXT, and again another one of Vince's mess ups. I think he screwed up Strickland something there with him, and they just let him go.
Yeah, that's a common thing that these really great wrestlers is and plus they've totally annihilated NXT. It's a shell of what it was when Triple H was running that.
Yeah, just makes no sense now to me.
Yeah, it doesn't. But like I said, I've yet to be so wildly like impressed by Swerve, but I'm just giving it time. Match, the story was Taz goes down to ringside, Powerhouse Hobbs, Irish whip into the ropes. Taz, without the ref seeing, grabs a hold of Keith's foot, which distracts him, disorients Lee, and given a huge spine buster by Powerhouse that looked really good. And Powerhouse got the win on this match. What'd you think of the match overall?
It was a good match. I don't like how they used Taz at the end. You ruined a good match. I thought both teams were really well. There was some good executions. I love Keith Lee. The one and only time I saw him live was at a NXT pay-per-view here in Portland a couple years ago, right before the pandemic started.
Yes, I remember that. He was good.
And that guy can work for a big guy his size. I saw him do some moves in Portland off the top rope and springboards, and I'm just like, this guy's 380 pounds. It's like, and he's jumping off ropes and stuff like a lucha. It's like incredible.
Yeah, he is a badass, and I kind of don't want to see him paired with anybody. I think this pairing should be brief, and we should focus on them as individual competitors.
Yeah.
Big Keith Lee fan myself, and I see some good things coming from that. Backstage, we had Tony Schiavone. He's interviewing Thunder Rosa, and the listeners know how I feel about this match, this feud, if you will, between Thunder Rosa and Nyla Rose. But it starts pretty much the same way that they've been building this from the beginning. Is Thunder Rosa's getting interviewed, Vicky Guerrero and Nyla Rose interrupt her. This time they have a cake, and Vicky says it's for having the world's shortest title reign. Rosa then says, "What do you think, I'm stupid?" Shoves the cake into Nyla's face, blinded by the cake in her eyes, and she accidentally hits Vicky. Then Thunder Rosa, and there's a little brawl between those two, which Nyla gets the upper hand, and the refs come and break it up. Not thrilled about this matchup. It's been done to death. How many times have you seen a champ have to defend against Nyla Rose and Nyla Rose pick?
Yeah.
It seems like we've seen it before.
I'm not a Nyla, Niles, Rose, whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have my own issues with Nyla Rose.
Right. As do a lot of people that I feel like we've seen this before and I don't need to see it again. So next we had the title match between Minoru Suzuki and Samoa Joe. It was nothing but chops for the first 5 minutes of it. It seemed
that,
like,
guys, that match, that was the craziest chop fest I think I've ever seen on TV.
I've never seen anything like that. These guys were killing each other with those chops. They were not holding back in the least.
No, that was a great match. One of the better matches in a while.
It certainly was different. It was very physical. You know, starts off physical, ends physical. Suzuki does not cease to impress me with his physical presence. He's just a very in shape guy for, and to go like he does is quite a feat. But Samoa Joe hit the muscle buster for the win on this. And I really, this is where everything died for me.
you and the entire wrestling world.
Yes, yes. And you know what I'm going to bring up is Sanjay Dutt and Jay Lethal. They say they have a gift and they flip them off. Then the lights go out. Everybody says, okay, is it House of Black? Who is it? And out pops the Great Khali Part 2. He can, his name's Satnam Singh, apparently. He can barely move, looks horrible, just standing in the ring. Ruined the whole show.
Yeah.
Even applied that lame ass grip hold. I don't know what Tony is thinking with all this. This seemed like something straight out of WWE. I was so disappointed.
Yeah.
going that, on there?
That Sundam Singh or whatever, it's like, what are you doing bringing something like that on for your end? It's just that great main event, and then you botch the ending with a reincarnation of Kali and Elegante.
Yeah. I think that Khan needs to have his head examined for this. I'm speechless with it. I don't know what to think, but it definitely killed what was a pretty good night, and it wasn't dynamite I've ever seen, but it was a decent dynamite, and it took decent dynamite and just really knocked it down and made you forget everything that happened previously. And I can't tell you how disappointed. My level of disappointment is your there. And like you said, the whole wrestling community is pretty outraged by this. So I don't know. I don't know how to this, but they need to fix this immediately. Next show we'll talk about. Well, I was going to kind of bring up Rampage and Battle of the Belts in this episode, because both had about the same amount of matches in them. We'd started off with a great trios tag match between Black Club, which included Brian Danielson, John Moxley, and Wheeler Yuta, along with William Regal, that came on, which I always love hearing them on commentary, against the Gun Club. It was a great match between the two teams. I keep seeing and hearing rumors of a trios title. Really like to see it. I don't know where you're going with that. I really would like to see a trios, though, because there's so many different teams that can be out there. I mean, we have Death Triangle, the Gun Club, even 2.0 and Garcia could get involved with it. I mean, there's just so many things that can be done with that.
The Bum Club?
Yeah. But it ended in I was kind of deflated by the end, where Yuta he caught Gunn off of the ropes, but simply did a roll up and got. I would have liked to see a different finish, but no such luck. It's good for Yuta, what it was.
Yeah, Yuta is starting to grow on me.
Yeah, he's coming a long way in a real short amount of time, but the past few weeks with Yuta have been phenomenal matches that he's been in, and he really did shine in this match too, and they let him.
Yeah, the Blackpool Combat team is really they're looking pretty good.
They are. Next, we had the Butcher versus, and I didn't write their name down. That's how important this was.
Yep.
Sean Spears is on commentary, but Butcher hit a power bomb for the squash in this. I guess the power bomb was sending a message to Wardlow. Not very thrilling there. Then we had Dustin Rhodes, who's backstage, and he actually gives a pretty intense promo and issues a challenge to CM Punk. And this is a match I do want to see. I'm very excited for this. It kind of sounds like he's thinking of hanging it up, but really wants to face Punk, you know, to complete his wrestling bucket list as he turns.
Dustin's ready to hang it up, so this could be a good career finishing match for him.
Definitely. Next, we had an Owen Hart Foundation tournament qualifier. It was Ruby Soho versus Robin Ren. This was a good match. Robin, you know, launched an impressive offense during the match. I've only seen Robin on a dark so far, so it was good to see her on Rampage. And the story of this match was she kept switching out with a twin sister who was hiding under the ring, her twin sister being Charlotte. Soho still won the match, even though they did the little switcheroo with that. It's not like we haven't seen this in wrestling before, but the way that it was is what I like, because we've seen it with the Bellas in WWE, and I'm not in no way comparing any of these wrestlers to the Bellas. Bellas are shit. the twin magic and all that, it kind of took an element of that. But Ruby had a new move in this. It was kind of a Sister Abigail like move, and got the win against Robin. Yeah,
I like Ruby, always have.
Yeah, and I really would like to see a challenge for the title. There's just so many other people they could be pushing right now. But I think that my hope is that this tournament will get reputation that she needs.
Yeah, I really hope so too, because I've always liked Ruby Soho. I felt she was very underused in WWE, and I think that's why she decided to leave.
Definitely, yeah. When I heard her talking about kind of how she was being treated in WWE, yeah, she had, even back then when she was Ruby Riott, she had something special to her, and WWE just killed it with putting her in all these constant tag matches that she would constantly put the other team. I think there's that AEW is the perfect fit for her.
Yeah, so far so good with her.
Then we go into our main event, the Texas Death Match for the AEW World Championship, Hangman Page versus Adam Cole. I was not excited for Adam Cole and Page in the first place, but a rematch I was even less excited for. I'm not a huge mark for Cole. I don't see him as being at the level that they're trying to push him at. Same thing goes for Hangman, though. Hangman's really not a champion I can get 100% behind. So
no, I was behind him with the Omega stuff. He had some great matches with Kenny Omega. Phenomenal matches. And then they put the belt on him, and it's just, he hasn't lived up to it.
No, I don't think so either. And Adam Cole just got this huge push right from the get-go, and I don't see him as really fitting that in my eyes, which kind of set the tone for my attitude during the match. The highlight really was there was a deep steel chairs back to back on Cole. That looked pretty good. Paige hitting a moonsault to the only to be met with the super kick. That looked really good.
I thought the match was actually pretty well.
It was a decent match. Calling it a death match, though, I think was a bit of a
Bit of a stretch.
Yeah, it was a stretch because it was Texas and they had to do something Texas themed, I guess. But yeah, I really didn't get the feel of it being a death match at all. It seemed kind of like a very mellow, no DQ. In my eyes, but the ending kind of got some controversy because Adam Page wrapped Cole's head in barbed wire, then he put him in position for a deadeye, threw a table on the outside, which I think just looked really sick. I mean, that was a great finish to it, and Page winning with the count. He got to his feet before the count of 10 for the win on that. But a lot of people I saw online were really offended, saying they were putting a crown of thorns on Cole's head, and I didn't see that at all.
I didn't need it.
I don't think that was what it was supposed to be. I think it was supposed to be it's barbed wire on his head and he's getting dropped on his fucking head. I mean,
yeah,
that's all I saw. So some people might have got upset. I wasn't so upset about it. That is the conclusion of Rampage, which real quickly we can go through Battle of the Belts too. I was not that impressed overall with this Battle of the Belts. The first one I thought was terrible. This one was just as terrible.
Yeah.
The first match, Sammy Guevara with Ty Conti versus Scorpio Sky, Paige and Lambert. Really a uneventful match other than the ending. Which basically Sammy Guevara hit a low blow on the Sky and pinned Sky for the win, earning him that's the third championship he's had with the TNT championship. I guess they're turning Sammy heel, which they should, because the crowd clearly hasn't been into the Sammy thing for quite some time.
No, it's just, it lacks. But I think Ty versus Paige would be a really good match.
I'm curious to see. I'm not going to say I'm really excited for it, but I would be more excited for that than Sammy versus Scorpio Sky again.
Yes.
Next, we had the championship with Dalton Castle with the boys versus Jonathan Gresham. Jonathan Gresham, also known as Octopus. If you're like me and haven't watched much of ROH, I was just trying to get a feel for. I've seen Gresham a handful of times. Dalton Castle, I've seen even less of. He's fairly new to me.
I love Dalton Castle. He's had that gimmick with him and the boys in ROH for several years now, and Dalton Castle is just he's a great worker. He's got he really shows that flamboyant wrestler.
Yeah.
The Chris Colt of the 2020.
Oh, that's a good comparison, actually. Yeah, that's what I kind of got from him. There was a couple things in this match that were kind of cringe to me. For instance, when they were in the corner, both ducking out of each other's backhands and blows. I don't know how long that went on for, but it went too long for me to see them do that. And then they did the reverse after reverse pins, which I'm never a fan of in match when they do reversal after reversal. That made a steam for me.
But
if you do it too fast, that's the issue. Sometimes they do those reverse maneuvers too quick. When you're just roll, you give it a minute, you know. Let one reversal sell, then hit another one, and then hit another one. You know, sell them, not just roll around. That just makes no sense. You got to give them a few seconds and let them sell that.
Yeah, and basically how this ended was Jonathan applied the octopus hold on the castle, got him on the mat for the submission. Then we have who we just talked about, Jay Lethal, and Sanjay Dutt. And Sotnam distracts Gresham, and Lethal hits him with a lethal injection. Then Sotnam horribly beats Gresham. Still looks terrible. does not look that great. Lee Moriarty comes and Matt Sydal for some reason. I don't know what they had to do with anything, but they both get beaten. Then Samoa Joe comes running with the pipe, and that intimidated all the heels, and they left suddenly. That ruined the match I just watched. Once again, they're going to kill the promotion with this guy if they don't stop it.
They got to do something. They gotta get rid of that guy. Ugh, it's terrible.
Yeah, if they're wanting ROH to do very well at all, they're gonna have to do away with this guy. He's worthless in my view. The next match we had was the AEW's Women's Championship, Thunder Rosa versus Nyla Rose.
Everybody again, another snore fest.
Yeah, this was really unfair to Thunder. Thunder Rosa is an incredible wrestler, and I think this did her a disservice because she can do so much better in that ring, and her opponent just was sluggish, botched it a few places noticeably, and I wasn't excited for this match to begin with. Battle of the Belts overall just sucked in my eyes.
Yeah, it wasn't very good, and anything with the he/she is just dreadful.
Yeah, I'm already tired of watching her. But I kind of just did an overall rating for this week, and you know, weighed out the positives and the negatives, and the negatives just were too much and too many for me this week. So I give it probably one of my lowest ratings a three chair shots is all it's getting for me.
It's getting five terrible, dreadful chair shots for me.
So that's a good thing. It's in the negatives for you.
Yeah, Battle of the Belts just didn't do it. Rampage didn't do it. Dynamite is okay, but they need some work. And Dynamite with Sandam Singh, you might as well give it a 10 chair shot.
Yeah. Really. But my wrestler of the week, I just had to go with CM Punk. He looked the best out there. I see him as a legitimate threat to the title right now, to Hangman. And yeah, he got my wrestler of the week.
I got to give my wrestler of the week to Wardlow. Just because he is showing just how destructive he could be, and and how I hope they push him for the right reasons and let him just squash MJF.
Definitely, he's a great pick. He is. They're booking him just completely how he should be booked. And
finally,
well, guys, we'll be now, Spaz, would you be willing to watch the two GCW events coming up this weekend so we could review them?
I might be able to. We'll see.
Okay. If not, I can always review them solo. It's fine, and have you join in, you know. But that would be the next event that I think will be outside of the usual Dynamite and Rampage. I don't see any of the events standing out in those two this coming week.
I'm waiting for I'm waiting for All or Nothing. I'm hoping to be in Vegas at the end of next month for All or Nothing. To be determined.
Yeah. Same here. I would like to. It doesn't look like I will be able to, but there's other shows that'll be coming. So.
Yeah. If I do get to Vegas, you may see me as one of the security guys getting tossed.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. Well, thanks, everybody. Thanks for the support. Let us know how we're doing. As usual, you can go into the Unscripted group on Facebook, the Unscripted Violence Pro Wrestling Talk group. Let us know how we're doing. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Sounds good.
All right.